Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party. Is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/CJSFradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star. Thank you all so much for joining us today on this Tuesday. It's been an okay Tuesday, I guess.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll make your Tuesday a little better by talking about the drug crisis, unfortunately.
Yeah, not a light topic over here, but stay tuned for later on as we're going to collect our thoughts and pass them out to you. But we're going to start off with some music before we do that.
Yeah, just ease us into this. The first song is Side by Side from Crumb, from their newest album, A Mama. So, yeah, it's a good one.
Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Yeah. Kalika, in my dining chamber. Tell a DJ rewind. In your don't know second. A corona so any kind. No mistake, no behind. New time boys are bo. Better better boys they lose canto. You don't wanna try, you go side to. Prep, proba sanjo. Don't bring trouble, walk your road. Life is love from head to toe. Ups and downs, you know your own. Mix your flavors, highs and lows. I don't know. If I no stand.
Or do you like technology? Or do you like talking to people? CGSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CGSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show, and tons more. To find out more information, visit cgsf.ca.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you're tuning into Slumber Party. My name is DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco. Last couple songs you heard, I think DJ Star is going to introduce them.
Yeah, the last one you heard was If I Know by Nubian Twist, and I was listening to that on the bus today. It's been stuck in my head all day, so there you guys go. And the song right before that was Beethoven by Echo Estrel, a little Riot Girl punk. I really, really like that song.
Me
I think,
too.
Yeah, we were jamming out in the studio a little to it, yeah. But that's... I think those were the only two ones. So
yeah, we only went through a little bit, but we decided to jump straight into our discussion for today, which is going to be mostly surrounding the opioid crisis in BC, but specifically to the drug Trank. This is a fairly new drug. I believe it's more prevalent in the news since starting last year. Some of you might have known of it, some not. So the drug officially is called xylazine, and it goes by the nickname Trank, and as well the zombie drug. And so this is actually a type of drug that is classified as a CNS depressant, which is also an animal tranquilizer.
Yeah, so they use it in like veterinary practice a lot. It's very common, but now it's getting into the streets a bit more, which is pretty...
Yeah, not good
bad.
At all. Because, yeah, this is such a strong drug that the fact that this is only approved for animals, and specifically horses, mm-hmm. which are major... These are massive animals to knock out a horse. That's a pretty strong drug. And this is kind of shown in the effect. So if you see... You've probably seen this if you walk down the downtown east side, for example, that you see people slouched over. They look like they're not moving, and they just are in this zombie-like state. This is due to Trank, and this is the combination of taking this animal tranquilizer that's been mixed in with normal drugs such as fentanyl or heroin. It is a crazy, crazy strong drug, and... It does a lot of things to your body, so it can really dangerously suppress your heart rate and your blood pressure. And as well, it causes these really grotesque sores all over your body if you take the drug. So if you're walking down the street, you also might have seen all these open blisters and open sores that are caused by the trank. I think DJ Star saw it as well.
Yeah, just people in the street and nobody's doing anything about it. And it is a very obvious like crisis that's happening, because it can lead to infection and there's necrosis of the flesh, which means that the flesh is actually dying and you can't even heal it from that point fully back to its usual state. So it's a problem that needs to be addressed quite immediately if those sores are happening. And you know, you do see that stuff on the street, and it's pretty gone to a pretty high level stage of that. So yeah,
it's a serious drug, and the fact that these open sores can lead to a lot of infectious diseases, and as well having to amputate these bodies. So a lot of people who have accidentally or intentionally been taking drugs that have had trank mixed in have had to get limb amputations. And it's just a horrible thought, just to think that a drug, a tiny little drug like this, can cause so many mm-hmm. problems within the body.
And it is kind of indicating how much more toxic that our drug supply is getting, and more volatile as well. Mm-hmm. Like before, just a few years ago, fentanyl was a majorly toxic and dangerous, and still is, drug that was cut into other drugs for a greater high. But now fentanyl is like a drug of choice, and they're mixing it with other things like trank or any of these other drugs. So it's becoming like more concentrated, more dangerous, more toxic. And yeah, that thought is really scary with the growing crisis that we have.
Exactly. And what extent can this go to as well? Like, when will humans ever stop looking for a stronger drug that we can find that people can find on the market? And it as well, this is such a bad combo.
I just want to say quickly, just to interject, that it's not even necessarily people are looking for it, but a lot of people don't even know that they're taking it until they take it.
Yeah, sorry about that. My mistake. But yeah, it just gets mixed in because it's so potent. It gets to that high feeling or that very blissful feeling quicker. I know that when you take something that has trank mixed in, it takes about 1 to 2 minutes to kick in, and it lasts for 4+ hours. And that is a really quick injection time.
Yeah, that's super quick.
Yeah, ingestion time. And it's crazy how quickly you can get that high. So when drug dealers know this, so that can get them more money, knowing that people can instantly get hooked quicker and longer. And as well, the major consequence of mixing an animal tranquilizer with these normal street drugs is that trank is not an opioid, but it is a depressant. So this means that the traditional methods of how we reverse opioids with naloxone, which is an opioid agonist, and this in normal cases can reverse the effects of a drug overdose, but we can't do that now because there's drugs that are being mixed in with this trank, and so now we can't revive people. Mm-hmm. And these people are sent to the hospital, and no one knows really what they can do, to the extent of just taking their blood vitals and making them check their heart rate and things like that.
Yeah, that is a very terrifying thought, that just the changes within the drug market and the introduction of trank as something that we can't even do harm reduction techniques with. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I think the question in a lot of people's minds is, what do we do about this? How do we combat this in any way? Not that we've been doing a great job with much in the past either. So it's, you know.
Yeah. And I feel like
a tough one.
Yeah. For the first, I think the initial thing that we need to keep in mind is that I feel like this topic doesn't have a lot of awareness to it. Most people that I've talked to don't understand or know about the trank being incorporated into all these drugs and the effects of what this is going on and how this is changing the drug toxicity amounts. And it's just such a critical issue, I feel like, just spreading awareness of the opioid crisis before trying to find a solution, because it is really difficult, as we've known, to find a solution, like a mm-hmm. direct solution to the opioid crisis. And this drug abuse has been, and drug use has been happening all over the world. There's been decriminalization in Portugal that they tried out, but there's problems in the U.S. Probably maybe heard of the famous Portland decriminalization case. There's just a lot to deal with all over the world, and it's difficult to tackle this with mm-hmm. one approach.
Because there is, on one hand, raising awareness, but then on the other hand, we need to raise awareness in order to destigmatize the mm-hmm. issue as well, which I think plays a very big role in a lot of overdose deaths or drug addiction, is just the amount of stigma surrounding people who use drugs and things like that. So it creates this barrier between people who use drugs and resources that we have that are like systemically not really made for people who use drugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just a barrier there where they might be scared to reach out in fear of being shamed right. or not being treated in an empathetic manner or things like that, I think is a big issue yeah. as well.
A big level of, yeah, systemic shame. Mm-hmm. We talked about this before on our episode of stigma, but there could also be self-stigma as well mm-hmm. that, like, internalizing, like, oh, I'm always someone who uses drugs, like, I'm not going to be able to change this. I don't want to go to the hospital to get help, things like that. Yeah. There's a lot of stigma surrounding drug use, and even my own family and the way I grew up, I feel like I've kind of was prone to stigmatizing, or learned that the drug crisis was kind of caused by the people themselves, and that it was their own life that caused them, or their own choices mm-hmm. that led them down that path, which now I believe, being a health science student, I learned that that's not true at all, 100%. But there's been things like just the way that we educate kids from a young age, I believe, for the opioid crisis can make a difference. It won't completely solve the problem, but we need to start having a cultural shift in general over yeah. stigmatizing these things.
And just having some very basic empathy as well as a holistic understanding of the problem, because it's not just young kids that don't know much about it, and maybe some do, but I think a lot of the older generation, even our own generation, doesn't really think about the reasons why people would turn to drugs and how that cycle can just get so out of hand that you can lose control over the amount that's coming in. It's not always monitored what kind of drugs you're taking, so there's mm-hmm. danger within that as well, and people are like slipping things in and spiking things, and it just creates like this cycle of trauma, and you just want to escape. So that's a whole other kind of subject, like the reasons why people do it and how they stay in it. Mm-hmm. But I just think a lot of people don't think about those, the context or anything before making those jumping to conclusions and saying, oh, it's their fault, or they chose to do that, so they should face the consequences of it. And nobody chooses to live a life like that, honestly. No. Like, nobody wants no. that for themselves, so I think that's kind of stupid.
I think, yeah, that's the biggest factor, is that who would want to live like that? No one. No one strives for a life like that.
Yeah. It is also difficult because we are kind of in this limbo of, oh, some people think that the drug crisis is a health, like a public health issue, and then some people think it's something else. So that's also where stigma comes into thinking it's, you know, like a personal issue rather than a public health issue.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a couple models that I know of that kind of relate to who is responsible for for the drug addiction. Like, is it the person or is it society themselves? I know that we're moving towards more of a harm reduction kind of model to help save these people who are not saved, but try to help these people who are using drugs and being exposed to things like Trang. And I feel like that's the best model we can do for right now. But before, there's kind of two divided models that some people believe that it's more of a moral idea that the person themselves is solely to blame for their addiction habits, but that they can change. And then the other one is the disease model that people believe that addiction is an illness and that, but the individual themselves is not responsible. And I don't believe in either the disease model or moral model. I believe they're both very outdated. And
responsible is just kind of a word that doesn't seem for me to correlate with addiction. Like, responsibility for the individual or not responsible, it just, I don't know if that's the right wording, but it just seems like off.
Like, for the moral model, that they believe that people want to take Trank and people want to take these things in overdose. Like, that doesn't seem right at all. That's why it's very outdated. And that's why the science community is going towards more of harm reduction. And this idea itself, harm reduction, is also very not stigmatized, but it's kind of divided and controversial. So,
unfortunately.
Even though there's been decades of research supporting harm reduction, it's just the fact that when I think politics come into play with harm reduction is that when everything goes askew, especially with safe, this is kind of going a little off, but with safe like drug consumption sites and things. And I know that there was a whole issue in Richmond particularly where people did not want drug consumption sites near their neighborhoods, but it was actually helping the people who use drugs who are there to have safe places to use drugs and be monitored in case they are going to experience an overdose.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people do have this knee-jerk reaction that comes from fear or comes from not understanding, and then it's just perpetuated and exploited in politics a lot as, you know, something we need to fight against. I've seen that, you know, in American politics too, like, you know, the war against drugs or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And